We started at the beginning of January into a four-month study. And each month will be one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So by April, we should have been able to spend some significant time in those four books, the first four books in the New Testament. We're really trying to look at them in a different way, in that each of the books presents a question. And then the rest of that book, all of that book, leads to answering that question. So the question that starts with in the very first of the Gospels, Matthew, is how do we face change? And we've gone through an interesting process in that we spent the first 2 weeks in Matthew 1 and 2, and then we spent the third week kind of bunching Matthew 5, 6, and 7 together as best we could. And then we really jumped to the end of the book. So I want you to know it's not like we tried to skip those. It's just I had to select the most important things in answering this question about change. And we found a handful of things already. Change is going to happen whether we like it or not. So how many of you like change no matter what it is? Any change is a good thing. Raise your hand. Okay? All three of you? How many of you, change is not your favorite? In fact, you kind of dread it. It kind of, just when I say the word change, you have the synonyms are something like change equals pain, work, you know, not fun things. So how many of you just don't really like change? You struggle with change. All right? And then how many of you, sometimes change is good, sometimes it's not so good, but you're pretty much just going to wait and see how it works out. And if it's good, then you'll smile about it. If it's not, you'll go, I don't like change. How many of you fit into that category? All right. Boy, those 5%, 5%, 90% figures are not scientific, but they're pretty exact, right? We started with the word change, and at the end I'll go through the slides so we can put all the words together. But change led to pain. And with every change, no matter what it is, there is a level of pain. Even if the change is a good thing, there's a level of pain that goes with it. It's those celebration moments, right? It's those celebration moments. A young person graduating from high school, and they always get advice like this. Well, it's a bittersweet moment for you, right? It's sweet because you finished a stage in life and you're going to go on to this new adventure, but it's bitter because it won't ever be the same again, right? So even in a celebration of change, there's some pain that goes with it. But then it can go way deeper than that. Change, especially unexpected change, change that's poured on you that you would have never chosen on your own, it can bring deep, deep pain. Right? It can bring deep pain. And then we move to the middle of the book and we really looked at this word next, or it'd be better if we were going to fill it out with more than one word, next step. Because what God's saying is change comes and pain happens, but there's a next step for us. You heard this, but I'm telling you this. You live this way, but I'm telling you here's the new life. And we can even be excited about that next step. We can say that new life sounds good, but just know this, the next two words, the one we looked at last week and the one that we look at this week, are part of any change. And when we say the next step, the first part of that next step is the word we looked at last week, which is death. And that for real change to come, something has to die. But then we get to move on to this week, which is life. And I'm glad. I'm glad that several of the songs were talking about fixing our eyes on Christ. And we're looking at that our salvation is in Christ. Because if it weren't for what Christ did on the cross and in resurrection, we would just be stuck with change that leaves the pain, and there's a next step, and it just ends with something dying, not with something living. I love this about what God's done, is He's taken things and He's flipped it. When He gives us the gift of that first life, there's life and then there's death. But in that bigger life that He offers us, He's saying, I'm going to flip it around, that when death comes, life can happen in a way that you've never known it before. And we look at that universally, big picture, as that's our salvation. That's our never-ending, our forever relationship, life in Christ. But He's saying it happens every day, and it happens hundreds and hundreds of times in our life. And so I want to bring it not just to that big picture salvation, but to where you're at in life right now. So I want to spend a few minutes talking about life, and the best way to do that is to get to the end of the book of Matthew and look at the resurrection. Okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, help us to get from you what we need, not just about change, but specifically about life this morning. And Lord, I pray that we'll open doors, and it'll actually help us to move through life in a different way than we've ever moved through it before. To know that change is going to happen, and there's pain with that, and there's next steps on that. And part of those steps are death, and part of those are life. But when we come into that new life, that's the adventure that you've put in front of us. That's the fullness that you've put in front of us. And so help us to make a change, or to allow you to make a change in us. And that change being that we're not afraid of change, and that we're not afraid of pain, and that we're not afraid of next steps, we're not afraid of death, and we're completely embracing this life that you've put in front of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to read through these, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each one of them, but it's been interesting to me to look at the Gospels through a different angle. And what I found is, at the end of the chapter, this last chapter, I found the same thing that I found at the very beginning of the book, and that is that there's some patterns that form if you read them, if you look for them, there's patterns. And that those patterns are really important. Do you remember when we saw the pattern in the beginning of the book that there was change that came and it brought pain? But in that pain, and it was really Joseph that we were looking at. If in that pain you could pause, you could stop, you could bring everything to a quiet place and listen, God would have a message for you. And that message would give you direction. And we saw that when he first found out Mary was pregnant. We saw that when the wise men were coming and someone was going to try and kill Christ. We saw that when he went to Egypt, that there was a problem that was presented. And that he listened and God gave him a message. And in that message he got direction. Well, in this last chapter, I found some patterns that I think will lead us to life and really putting our hands around it in a better way. Let's just pick up in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 7. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Just want to pause there for a second and say this. In Matthew, when Christ shouted and released his spirits, there was an earthquake. And it doesn't talk about it in any of the other Gospels. And now, at this moment, when these two ladies went to the tomb, there's another earthquake, and it doesn't talk about it in any other place. And I think, without making everything a metaphor, but reading even into the literal and saying even that literally happened, that God's trying to give us a picture of our literal life and what happens, and that's this. When change comes, especially the death part, and the life part, it shakes up our life. It shakes us. That's part of the change process. I thought it's interesting that in facing change, how do we face change? That in this gospel, it's the only place that it talks about death and life, Christ releasing his spirits, and the resurrection moment, that things shook. And I think it's God just saying, here's a highlight. When change happens, life's going to shake. But don't worry about it. It's a good thing. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. So let me just stop here. I told you that I wasn't going to stop much. I'm hoping this is maybe two of the three times that I'll stop. But I want to get this in too. There was an earthquake, and do you remember last week when we were reading that passage of death, and it came to this end that when it said Jesus shouted and then released his spirit, there was a sequence of two things that it said after that, or three things that it said after that. Earthquake, and then two other things happened. Does anybody remember what the two other things were? Curtain, Yeah. So, earthquake happened in the temple where every Jewish person would come for worship. There was a dividing curtain, and it divided the Holy of Holies from all the rest of the temple. So an earthquake happened. The curtain was torn from top to bottom. And what was, anybody remember the third thing? Graves open. Yeah. Yeah. Graves open. Like, and again, I got a lot of questions eventually when they can be answered, when we can say, God, really tell us what happened, you know, there, like what was happening. The graves opening thing, I think, was just a picture of resurrection, that in that moment of death, life was going to come. But there was the earthquake, and then the curtain was torn. Do you know what God was saying there? God was saying, there's not going to be a division anymore. There's no divider. There's no divider. Like the way you worship before, there was a divider. Now there's no division. So God's not in the temple, is what he was telling us. And now there's an earthquake, and the stone is rolled away, and what does the angel say? Hey, the tomb is empty. You know what he's saying? God's not in the temple, and God's not in the tomb. Because he's setting up something brand new that had never happened before. And that was, God's not in the temple, he's not in the tomb, God is in you. Like, we'll do this. We'll go, yay! For that. That's a biggie. That's a universal thing, right? He's trying to set it up in this way for every change that comes into our life. Not just a yay that he's not in the temple anymore, he's not in the tomb, that he's in me, but that truth, you're going to find he's pulling all the way through. And the very last words that he tells us in Matthew is, no matter what you go through, no matter what happens, I'll be with you. I'm not in the temple anymore. I'm not in the tomb anymore. I'm in you. I'm with you. You are in me. That's what he's trying to set up. So, was that worth me stopping? Like, to me, that was worth stopping for. That was a good one. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothes was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman, to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said he would. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead and he is going to be ahead of you in Galilee. Where is he going to be ahead of them? Galilee. Okay, so just keep that in mind. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. All right, so here's a pattern. I'm going to try and give it to you, and then hopefully it'll make sense as we move through two more sections in this same passage. It says at the very beginning, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. So this is the people. So, Zach, go ahead and go to that next slide. Here's the first part of this pattern. In each of these passages, and it's divided into three sections in this last chapter, the very first thing you're going to see is a group or a people. Okay? And then it's going to tell you what the purpose was. They were coming to the tomb, and it doesn't give you as clear a picture here as it does in other Gospels. They're coming to make sure that Christ's body is okay. To anoint it if it needs to be anointed anymore. For the smell of death. So they come with a very clear purpose, to visit the tomb. And then you're going to find this in each of these sections. There's a message. So we went over this last year. The word angel is really the word that we get message or messenger. And so an angel is for a single purpose, to bring a message from God. And so this angel comes down with a big splash. All right. When he comes down, earthquake, rolls the stone aside, and he says this, don't be afraid. You're looking for Jesus. He's alive. Go back and tell the disciples, meet him in Galilee. That's the message that he gave them. All right? But then I want to add a promise at the end. And it's the last few words. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. This is what the angel said. As if when an angel speaks to us, we're going to forget anything he says. Unless we're just so shocked by it. Right? But he's saying, I want you to take this and hold on to it. I want to give you a promise to hold on to. I know this is all shocking. I know the crucifixion was shocking. I know it's brought incredible change. Even though Christ had tried to prepare them, He couldn't have prepared them enough. And they were going through a dramatic change here that brought pain. And He told them there was going to be a next step. And in the next step, He was really clear, I'm going to be crucified. He told them about death. But then He also told them about resurrection. They still didn't understand it. So this is what I know. As we're going through this process, we may not get it the first time. But the more we can get it, the more we can live in it. And the more we can live in it, the fuller we can live life. And so He said to them, ladies went to the tomb, earthquake, angel, message. Like, they came with a clear purpose. Message was, guess what? Things have changed. Don't be afraid. That was the message. Why do you think the angel said, don't be afraid? Because they had a look on their face like they were afraid. You ever said that to your kid? Don't be afraid. Like, they wake up in the middle of the night, there's nothing for you to be afraid of. Does it take all the fear away? No, I mean, it helps, but it's still there. And so there needs to be a promise added onto that message, right, parents? My room is right around the corner. Or you know what? Just, I'll go in and I'll lay down next to you. I'll be here. I'll protect. Isn't there always a promise that goes with it? I'll protect you. So he sets up this pattern. I call this first section the truth about resurrection. Here's the truth about resurrection. This is exactly what Christ was buried. Now He's alive. It's the truth about resurrection. Here's the truth about resurrection. There is life after death. And I'm not just talking about in that universal forever way. I'm telling you who are sitting here this morning who are going through deep pain. And the pain is so deep that you can't feel or think or do anything except feel that pain. That if you'll stop for a second, if you can do this, God has a message for you. And the message is, there's life after death. That as terrible as this is, there's life after this. And it can be better than anything you've ever known. It may take away barriers like a curtain. It may take away fears like a tomb. And say, listen, there's no barrier between me and God, and I don't have to be afraid of anything anymore because God's got me on this. So if I call that first section the truth about the resurrection, I'm going to call the second section the lies about the resurrection. So let's just pick up a couple of verses later. As the women were on their way home, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. We saw the guards in that first section. Tell me what was the guards' position in that first section. What happened to them? You what? Fell down. Right? Overwhelmed, fell down. So it's saying as the women went, and remember they were given a message and they were also given a promise. As they went on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. So we're starting out with that same pattern again. There's this people group right at the beginning of this. Before it was Mary and Mary and the soldiers. But now it's Mary and Mary and the soldiers, but the focus is not on Mary and Mary. Now it's on the soldiers. A meeting with the elders was called and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. Okay? So we got the people again and we got the purpose. They went to tell the leaders what had happened at the tomb. Right? That was their purpose now. They told the soldiers, you must say, Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping and they stole His body. Now this just, it's hilarious on several levels. Remember when the temple guards came to get Christ from the garden? Disciples put up a big fight there? No. Like the most we know is Peter grabbed somebody's sword and chopped off an ear. So now what they're going to convey is a lie. It's an out-and-out lie. Yeah, we're Roman centurions, and these disciples, they took the body away from us. You must say Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were asleep and they stole the body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble. So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Listen to these next words. The story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. So go ahead and pop that next one, Zach. And just you can put all four of the words up there. People, purpose, and message. Who was the people group the first time? Primarily it was Mary and Mary. Who's the people group this time? Primarily the soldiers. Like, we got a little glimpse of them before. What was the purpose when they came back to town? They were going to report what had happened. What was the message they were given? Well, let me go back. What was the message that Mary and Mary were given by the angel? What? He's alive. Don't be afraid, he's alive. Go to Galilee. Tell the guys to get to Galilee. That was the message. What's the message here? Here, we're going to go with this, guys. We've tried A, B, C, D. None of those work. We're all the way to Plan Z. Plan Z is, say this. Jesus' disciples overwhelmed us, stole the body. And I love this. If the governor, if the Roman established leader asks, we'll back up what you say. This section is just full of lies. And again, I think God's giving us this form that we can be aware of. We can say this is always going to be true. That some people are going to, they're going to buy into the resurrection, and they're going to buy in, I don't need to be afraid anymore. He's alive. And some people are going to say, that's crazy. You know, he never resurrected. Which just dominoes into, if he didn't rise from the dead, then what's your hope found in? Like, what are you going to do? And they gave this promise. Listen, we will back you up. No matter who asks us this, we will back you up that this is exactly what happened. So the reason I wanted to go through those two was to get to this third one. And it picks up in the very next verse. Matthew 28. And here's what I would say. This is not the truth about the resurrection. This is not about the lies about the resurrection. But it's just asking us this question. What does the resurrection mean to us? What does it mean to me? Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee. Okay, who's the people group this time? All right, we got these same pattern, same exact pattern. Going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. What was their purpose? What was their purpose in this? We know who the people group is. What's the purpose? They're going to meet Jesus. Oh, wait, Zach, can you go to the scripture? Yeah, I'll get to that one in a second. You guys make sure you tell Zach he did a great job afterwards, because Sasha's gone today, and you know, he's like the slide guru. So Zach's trying to take his job, I think. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, right? That's the people group, and the purpose was to go to Galilee because of why? Why were they supposed to go to Galilee? You remember in that first section, Jesus said, tell everybody to meet me there. Going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Look at verse 17. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Man, that is like, that just warms our heart, doesn't it? When they saw him, they worshipped him. But I am so glad that God always tells the whole truth about a situation. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some of them doubted. It's pretty easy for us standing here to look back at that people group and go, what is your problem? You were with him for 3 years. He told you he was going to be crucified. He told you he was going to be resurrected. Mary and Mary raced back from the tomb and said, go to Galilee, you'll meet him there. And now you see him. And the automatic response is to worship. I still have some doubts. A friend of mine said years ago, a perfect church service will be when you have a prayer meeting and there are no unspoken prayer requests. You know what the bottom line that he was saying is? That would be perfect because everybody felt safe enough to tell what really was going on in their life and know that it would be held in love and held in a safe place, that we could be open about it. Man, I just wish on a Sunday morning that we could have a doubt meter in here, and when you came in, you could just punch in what number of doubt that you're at. Have you ever gone to a church that said, we're starting off with worship and song and worship and doubt? Songs of worship and songs of doubt. And yet, wouldn't that be the truth? Like, wouldn't that be the open and honest way to say it? I love that he put that in here. Who's the people group that came? The disciples. And what was their purpose? It was to meet with Jesus so they could worship him and work out their doubts. We can't even say that on a Sunday morning around here. This was the first time they saw Christ after he was resurrected. Can you see him in a pre-meeting? What are we going to do? Well, we're going to worship him. Well, I got some questions. You keep your mouth shut on those questions. He just came back from the grave. Can't we just have a whole celebration worship time without you bringing your doubts? Jesus is saying, no. Remember, he's not in the temple anymore. He's not in the tomb. He's here. And we could, as the song says, come as you are. And we can bring our worship, thank you for doing this, but man, I'm struggling in this area. We're talking about change. Who was the people group that this book was first coming to? They didn't even know they were Christians at that time. That word hadn't even been coined. They just knew they were Christ followers. Christus followers. That's all they knew. They were Jewish and they thought that we'll just be Jewish Christus followers. Everything was changing. Remember, the temple had just been wiped out. Most of them had moved from the city they'd been in forever, Jerusalem, and were in Antioch. And in Antioch, overwhelming number of Roman citizens. And then the Jews were farther on the outskirts. And then the farthest edge out was the Jewish Christ followers. Everything had changed. I love that God put this in here. He said to them and us, come with your worship and come with your doubts. That was that third little side thing that I was going to go through. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, here comes the message. I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. That's the message. Make disciples. Tell them about this process of change, that there's pain that goes with it. There's a next part of it, that there's death to it, but there's life afterwards. These are the first words he speaks to his disciples after resurrection. Fill out life. Not only know that you have this new life, but fill it out. I love that he adds baptism. Because baptism is a picture of this new life in Christ, right? Like we go into the water, it's a picture of the old. Buried, resurrected, come out with new life. That's all he's doing. He's stamping on here. Embrace. Love this new life. And then he gives a promise at the end. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He introduced in Matthew chapter 1 that Jesus was going to come. Call him Emmanuel. What's Emmanuel mean? God with us. And he ends with, listen, there's this new day that's dawned. I'm with you. I'm with you every step of the way. Like I know the whole world has changed for you. But I'm with you the whole step, every step of the way. I love that he set up this pattern. I love that he says, if you're two ladies who are coming just because you don't know what to do and you want to anoint my body, you want to check on You want to go to the graveyard, the cemetery, and check on things. Well, guess what? There's going to be a message for you. And what that message is, a promise. If you're a people group that, man, you don't even know what's going on. Like, just the whole world's been shattered, and your purpose is just to come back and report, and then there's a message given to you, and it's confusing. And let me just tell you, I think this message is given all over the world. Resurrection never happened. You just keep that story, and you tell that story to everybody, and here's the promise. We'll back you up on it. I love that these guys that were with him all the time came to worship and they had doubts. His message was this: listen, go and tell everybody everywhere that there's life after death, there's resurrection. And then just know this in your daily life, that's going to happen. And when it happens, here's my promise. I'll go with you every step of the way. Like, I'll be there every step of the way. And that's good to know. Because the truth is, when change comes, we can just get stuck in pain. A couple weeks ago, we prayed about that. I asked people if they had a pain, either that they were in now or they'd been in for a long time. And in that pain, they really hadn't heard a message from God. I asked them if they had the courage to raise their hand so we could surround them and pray. Let me tell you, I'd never had it linked this way before, but when they did that day, when they raised their hand and had the courage, I believe it was a picture of Christ having the courage to be hung on the cross outside the city and for all the world to look at Him. Because He knew it was leading to payment for our sins and life for us. And I believe when those people raised their hand a couple weeks ago, I believe it took all the courage and faith picturing what Christ did when He hung on the cross there. And so I'm glad we get to this resurrection day. I'm glad we get here. My parents aren't here this morning, and they're not here because my dad's just struggling. Right? Like, you guys can see that, right? I tell people that don't know him that he painted houses until he was 80 years old. He's 89 now. So at 80, him and his painting partner, who you wouldn't know his painting partner, but he's a guy named Jim McFadden. He's about 6'2", 6'3". And he's 15 years younger than my dad, which still, I mean, that puts you at you're a good number. And McFadden was afraid of heights as a painter. Kind of a bad fear to have. So my dad would scramble up the ladders to the second story. Right? Paint the trim on the house. So 80 to 89. And now that you that have known him for a long time, you see it. You see it happening. Like, you see his body's just having a bigger struggle all the time. Right? And all the way through this process, I just keep thinking, there's pain that goes with this. But there's a next step. Like, literally, for my dad, there's a next step. There's going to come this moment where he takes his last breath here, and then he breathes in this first breath that's different. It's different. Right? And then I think that this for myself. God, in the process that you're taking my dad through, you're taking me through processes too, right? Like, he's taking me through change. Change that's painful. Right? My dad took care of everything. And now he can hardly take care of anything. And so there's this next step that I keep saying, okay, there's this next step. And there's pain that goes with this. And in this next step, Tim, there's some death and there's some life. And you know what I'm finding is every day that's true. Don't tell my dad I said this, okay? But he's always been the most patient man. He's not the most patient right now. So if he needs something, he needs it right now. You know my dad, that's very different from him. You know that know me. When somebody tells me I need it right now, what's my normal response? Yeah, some of you are laughing. Some of you are shaking your head going, oh man, this is a collision of worlds. You know what I'm finding? Every day that I realize God's not just changing my dad, he's changing me. With that change goes some pain, and there's a next step, and there's the death of something, there's a life of something. You know what the death of some things that's happening is? My impatience is dying a little bit more every day. And this really cool new thing is coming. It's not a Tim impatience as much as it is a Christ patience. Right? Now I'm not saying it's perfectly smooth. Like, when things like impatience die, they go with a fight. It's not just this big thing of my dad's last breath and this new life that we're not sure what it is, just God gives us a glimpse of it. It's not just that. It's me. I have the opportunity for change every day. And if I just get stuck in, you know, we jokingly say in our family, in my 50s, my dad was diagnosed with diabetes. In 60s, colon cancers. In 70s, bypass surgery. In 80s, Parkinson's. In 90s, the only thing left, leprosy, right? So we jokingly say that. But I remember when he was going through a hard time with bypass, and the doctor said, man, Tim, if one more domino falls, I don't know what we're going to be able to do. I remember I was just so mad. I remember one of the men from the church came by, and he said, so how you doing? And I just smiled at him, but behind that smile was a bunch of different words. And it was, I'm not doing good. And I am ticked because my dad has been a God follower all these years, and God, who can do anything in the world, won't reach down and just touch his body and make him better. And I'm mad at God right now. That's the disciples seeing Jesus for the first time after resurrection. We're going to worship you, but I got some questions for you. For the longest time, I just stayed mad about that. And then in the pain, I stopped just being mad and started listening for God. This was a big lesson they taught me. Tim, do you love your dad? Yes. Do you think I love your dad? Yes. Then trust me with this. The moment I know he can't rest anymore, I'll bring him into a place of rest. Man, I felt such a peace in the struggle then, right? Such a peace that God's got this. He knows better than me. He knows better than any doctor. So unsettling that was really important. But he's been paralleling that with something else in my life, and that is, hey, change happens in big ways, like your dad's life and death and eternal life. It happens in small ways. And guess what, Tim? I want to make you more full in life. And the best way I can do that is to make you more Christ-like. That's what I think he's trying to show us here. And he's saying at the end of it, doesn't matter if it's your dad, big, or you and your impatience, I'm with you. I'm not in the temple anymore. I'm not in the tomb anymore. Those were important. But something new is here. Celebrate it. Embrace it. Bring your worship. Bring your doubts. But no, I'm with you.